I want to say that I come to this topic feeling both excited and nervous at the same time. I'm excited to approach this topic because of something that God has been doing inside of me over the last little while and with us as a couple, Martha and I. God has been teaching us some things, and I'm anxious to talk about them, explore these ideas together with you. I'm also somewhat nervous about it because I really don't want to give you a false impression that I am an expert on habits of prayer. I wish I could say that I was, but I know that in my own heart, sometimes it's just easy to get lazy and to kind of lose touch with the daily habits of life that keep us really in touch with God. And so it's my desire, it's the desire of my heart that we together, that I would be a fellow sojourner with you as we come to explore this idea. As we begin 2016 and we look into another year, we begin to think of priorities of life and things like that. I would like us together to explore these ideas around habits of prayer. And I've intentionally called this study something that we're learning together because I would like us to be able to learn from each other. I would like us to learn in a number of ways. I want us together to come before Scripture so we hear what the Word says to us about prayer, and particularly some words of Jesus. I would like us also to pay attention to the rich history of writing in the Christian faith about practices of prayer. There's some current literature on prayer that's very helpful. There's some ancient literature on prayer, ancient practices of prayer from going back to the early church fathers that we can learn from and put into our lives when we talk about habits of prayer. And so I want us to learn from those resources. I also want us to learn from each other because we each have our own habits, and perhaps you're doing something that's really helpful that we can learn from. And so I'd like to have opportunity for us to do that together. Approximately 2 months ago, Martha and I began reading a book together. It was a book recommended to me by my brother. My brother said to me one time when we were talking, he said, "You know, I read this book and you know what? I'm praying differently now." So that was interesting to me. So Martha and I picked up this book, and I won't tell you the book right now. I'll tell it to you in the coming weeks. If you won't be here in the coming weeks, you can ask me after. But it has been a helpful book. But the idea here is that what we want to do is focus on this idea of habits of prayer. As we've been reading this book together, what I've found in the last couple months is that a number of other books have come onto my horizon, and a number of other ideas and thoughts and from other places have come, and God has been challenging me about this idea of what is prayer. Here at International Church of Bishkek, as we've wrestled with our purpose of existence, why are we here, we've come up with this phrase, which I've mentioned a number of times, and I hope we can just come to know it together. What we're doing at the International Church as we come together is we're seeking together to learn what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. This is what we really want to do together. And it seems to me, and I'm becoming more and more convinced, that at the very foundation of this pursuit, the pursuit of a wholehearted relationship of loving Jesus, at the heart of it lies this idea of communication with God. This idea of how do we talk with Him, how do we understand what prayer is, and how do we build these habits into our lives so that we can become increasingly wholehearted followers of Jesus. And so it's my desire in these 4 weeks that we spend together that we begin to look for a deeper, richer, practical understanding of habits of prayer and habits of relating to God. So I have an assignment for us together as we begin. And here's the question. The question is, what is prayer? We need to define what it is. And so what I would like us to do is to think about the words or the phrases that best describe prayer in your perspective right now. Someone turns to you and says, "What is prayer?" How are you going to answer them? So what I'd like you to do, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, 2 minutes only. So just turn to somebody close to you, two or three people, whatever, but just answer this question. What is prayer? What are the words, what are the phrases that come to mind? And then we'll put some of them up on the screen so that we can share some thoughts and ideas together. All right? Does that make sense? So just, you have 2 minutes. Turn to each other. What is prayer? How do you want to answer that? What words or phrases would you use? Okay. I'm sure that you have found all of the answers. But let's learn together. As someone asks you, what is prayer? What words or phrases come to mind? Talking, okay, talking to God.
Direct conversation with God.
Okay, direct conversation with God. That's great.
Dialogue with God.
Dialogue, okay. Dialogue implies what? Two-way, right? It's not just one way. Okay. What other kind of words or phrases come to mind? Listening. Listening is a great word, yeah. Sorry?
Communicate with God.
Communicate with God, yeah. Prayer is a weapon, okay?
Understanding God.
Excellent.
What was the last
one? Understanding God. What else? Anything else?
Trust.
I heard the word trust, yeah? Sorry?
Groaning.
That's a good word. Groaning implies being real, being authentic, you know, the real feelings of your heart, yeah? Yeah.
One of our kids mentioned the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit? We're gonna come to a verse in a minute that really ties prayer to the Holy Spirit, and we'll come to that.
Praying,
okay, so it's authentic, it's from your heart, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so friendship, yeah, it's a good word too. Sorry? So repentance and freedom, yeah?
Repentance and praise,
yeah? Repentance and praise, absolutely. Yeah? Great. Well, there's many more words, but I like this collection of words that we have. Let me put two definitions on the screen, if we can go back to the presentation. Let me put two definitions on the screen, which I found, and we'll kind of evaluate them a little bit. Here's one. When I typed into Google, what is prayer? This is what I came up with. A solemn request for help, or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship, or an earnest hope or wish. How do we evaluate such a definition of prayer? In my mind, it's too narrow, right? So asking God for things is part of prayer. And often, I think, you know, often we approach prayer in that way, don't we? We say, well, let's pray. So what are the requests that we have to ask from God? And so prayer becomes mostly asking for things from God, or perhaps thanking Him for things also.
It is unfair only to ask.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to suggest to you, I want us to try to open our definition of prayer as wide as we can. Let me put one other definition, which came from a little book, which I'll mention again in a coming week, by Sybil Macbeth. This is her definition of prayer. Prayer is the glue that holds all of the pieces of life together as a spiritual whole. It reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Yeah? It reminds us of who we are and whose we are, who we belong to. Picture that came to my mind as I was reading this definition was the picture of a satellite dish. You know, we orient a satellite dish towards a satellite in order to receive a signal. Seems to me that prayer is kind of like this satellite dish that orients all of life towards God. So that we pay attention to the fact that all of life is lived in relationship with the living God who made us, who loved us, who saved us, who redeemed us, who forgave us. All of life is lived in relationship with God, and prayer is really the heart and soul of that relationship with God. So prayer may be described as relationship with God. It's this orienting ourselves towards God. In particular, I like this definition because she suggests it reminds us of who we are and whose we are. And this particular definition stood out to me as I was pondering the text of Scripture that I would like to be our anchor text for this study, and that's Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 to 13. Let me encourage you to open your Bibles there if you have one. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. There's Bibles on the back if you would like to get one to follow along. Matthew chapter 6 comes to us in the middle of three chapters. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 form a sermon given by Jesus that we sometimes call the Sermon on the Mount. So we picture Jesus sitting on a mountainside and he's teaching the people. And what's he teaching them in this sermon? He's teaching them how to live the life of God on this earth. How to live according to the values of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the phrase that Matthew uses. How do we live in relationship with the living God while we're on this earth? And this is a very rich sermon, and many countless books have been written. And sermons have been preached on the principles that Jesus outlines in the Sermon on the Mount. But what we notice, Matthew chapter 6 is the center of this sermon. And right at the center of this sermon, Jesus talks about what? He talks about prayer. I think it's significant that Jesus talks about prayer right in the center of this Sermon on the Mount. We want to begin reading at verse 5 of chapter 6, but let's pay attention to Jesus' main point, which we find in the beginning of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus begins by saying these words, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." What's Jesus trying to say? He's saying, when you practice faith, do it really, in your heart, authentic. Don't just look holy on the outside. Don't just go to church because it makes you look good. Don't just stand up and preach because it makes you look good. If you're going to practice faith, Jesus says, practice it in your heart. And Jesus has three practical areas in Matthew chapter 6. The first one is giving our offerings to God. The second one is prayer. That's the one we're going to look at. The third one is fasting. But we're focusing on this idea of prayer, and I want us to use this Matthew 6 passage as an anchor text for these 4 weeks that we're together. So please, as we come, let us hear the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 6 as I read these first few verses, beginning at verse 5. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need, even before you ask him." And then Jesus says this, "This then is how you should pray." And then Jesus gives us this gift. Jesus gives us this gift that we sometimes call the Lord's Prayer. It's really a prayer that he gives us as a pattern prayer for us to pray. So let's say these words together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I would like this prayer that Jesus offers to us as a pattern prayer to form the backbone of our discussion over these coming weeks. Today, I want to focus simply on the first two words. The first two words, Jesus says, when you pray, this is how you should pray. You should begin, "Our Father." What I want us to see in these words is to believe, first of all, who we are. Second of all, whose we are. So let's focus on these two words. These two words, our Father. What do you see as you look at these words? Simple words. Words we know. Let's think about the first word. First word is our. What does the word our imply? Sorry? Implies belonging. Absolutely. Plural. So it implies community. Right? He's our Father. He's not just my Father. He's our Father. Right?
Possession.
If I speak of the family that lives down the road, it's the family, right? Or a family that lives next door, it's a family. If I speak about our family, it's a place where I belong. Jesus invites us to address the God of the universe as our Father. Think about the second word, Father. What comes to your mind when you hear the word Father? Well, quite honestly, a number of different pictures are going to come to our minds, right? Your picture is going to be different from mine. What is our picture informed by? Most likely it's informed in part, at least by our experience with our earthly fathers. So for some of us, the experience of the word Father is beautiful and great and joyful. For some of us, perhaps it's very painful. Negative. I want to invite all of us, no matter what your experience of earthly fatherhood might be, I want to invite us together to inform our thinking of fatherhood from Scripture and not just from our experience. And it seems to me, as I think about what is a father, at the heart and soul of the idea of fatherhood is, in fact, this idea of belonging that was already mentioned. This idea of belonging. We belong to Him. I am the father of two grown, beautiful daughters. I have tried over the years to be a good father. I know that there's many ways in which I have failed them and let them down. I know that I'm not a perfect father. I also know that they're not perfect children. But they're mine. Right? They came from me. And I love them because they're mine. And you can't have them. Even if one day I give them away to some handsome young man who wants to marry them. Even in that, they still come from me. They're still mine. As Jesus here gives us this model for prayer, He deliberately invites us to come before the living Creator of everything that exists, to come into His presence and to say these words, our Father. If we think about Him as our Father, who are we? We are His children. If I ask you to think of a scripture that you would go to describe what it means to be a child of God, I wonder where you would go. Let me take you to two places because we don't have time to get everybody's input on that. Listen to the words from John chapter 1. We looked at these a few months ago in our study in the book of John. At the very beginning, this is the opening part of the book of John. John 1 verse 12 says, to all who receive Him, that is this one who is the Word made flesh, to all those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become what? To become children of God. Not of natural descent, not of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. And here's the beautiful truth of Christian faith. When we believe, when we receive the story of Jesus, we are born of God and we become His children. We belong to Him. Let's listen to some words from the Apostle Paul on this topic. In fact, let's read some of them together. This comes from Galatians chapter 4. And Paul talks about this idea of us becoming sons of God. Let's read it together. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Right? Let's go on. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out what? Abba, Father. This is what happens when we believe, when we receive. God gives us the right to become children of God. And He sends His Spirit to live inside of us. And what does the Spirit say to us? He turns our attention towards God and says, Abba. Daddy. Father. Let's go on. So, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir. As we begin our consideration of the habits of prayer, we long for the faith to truly believe the biblical message about who we are and whose we are. We are children of God. We belong to our Heavenly Father. This week, as I was thinking about these things, I heard a song that was playing in our house, and it blessed my soul. And so I want to invite you just to listen to this song. You may know this song pretty well. It's a Casting Crowns song, and it asks the question, who am I? So as we listen, let's just tune our hearts towards God and seek to hear the message of this song together.
Because of who you are, I am. because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm
you ask the question of yourself, who am I? How do you answer that question? Who are you? I'm weak, I'm broken. I feel powerless. I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. Not because of what you've done, but because of who He is, that you are God's child. One of the lessons that Martha and I have been learning, trying to do, is to present ourselves to God as we are. Present yourself to God as you really are. Don't pretend. God knows who you are. God has called you to be His child. You belong to Him. And so He invites you and me to simply come to Him. Say, Our Father. He knows our brokenness. We come to Him as we are. I have one more picture, plus some homework for you this week. As you look at this picture, what do you think of? The book of Revelation, the Apostle John receives this vision of Jesus speaking to seven churches, actually, and one of the churches is named Laodicea. And as Jesus speaks to this church, He says to them, "You have got so distracted in this world. Your faith, which was once active and alive, has become lukewarm." And Jesus is speaking words of judgment against this church. He's calling them to repent because their satellite dish was no longer turned towards God. It was turned towards the pleasures of the world and the riches and everything else. I want you to listen to the invitation of Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 says this. Jesus says to them, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." And then He gives them this beautiful invitation. "Here I am," Jesus says. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I'll eat with that person and they with me." A beautiful invitation. Jesus says, "I'm standing at the door." Jesus is present with us. But He's not an intruder. But He wants our invitation. He invites us to open the door so that we can do what? So that we can eat with Him. The beautiful picture of relationship, eating together. Here's your homework for this week. What we're trying to do is talk about habits of prayer, I believe that each of us needs to do something in our lives to cultivate a daily habit of hearing God's voice, a daily habit of orienting our lives towards God so that we know He's there, He's present, He's with us. And so here's an idea that comes from a friend of mine who does seminars on hearing God. This is one of his ideas, is to create this rhythm of life where we prepare to be attentive to God in the morning. So we get up in the morning, and one of the first things we do is we find a way to be attentive to God. And then as we go from that space, we go into living our life, and we seek throughout the day to be attentive to God, to keep that satellite dish oriented in the same sort of direction. And then at the end of the day, we look back and we reflect and we say, how did we do? How did we do this day? Or not just evaluating, but saying, where did we see God in this events of this day? Where did I mess up? Where did I go wrong? Where was God in all of that? And just, it's this attentiveness. It's cultivating attentiveness to God, no matter what we do each day. I want us to begin to fill in some pieces throughout these 4 weeks, ideas, tools, resources that we can use to help us to do this. Let me begin by looking at the early part of the day. How should we prepare for the day? Here's just some suggestions. There's no rules, but here's some suggestions. It's important, I think, to find a quiet place. Jesus says, go into the room and close the door. It's not always possible, depending on your living situation, but do what you can to find a quiet place. And invite Jesus into that space. Have a sense of opening that door. As you find that space, open that door. Invite Jesus to be with you in that space. He's here. He's with us. Invite Jesus into your day. If you think about the events of the day, invite Him to be there, to be with you. And then read a short passage of Scripture. It's important for our thoughts to be rooted in Scripture, so it can be any passage of Scripture, really, but if you're looking for an idea, the latter part of Matthew chapter 6 is a beautiful expression of how God loves us, cares for us, how we can trust Him. Perhaps you would like to read a passage like that. Listening for God's message for you in that passage. And then as you read, just then be quiet. Let those thoughts settle in your heart. Just be quiet in God's presence. Because prayer is not just about talking. Prayer is about listening. And perhaps it's also helpful then to write some thoughts. After you've had some time just listening to God, write some thoughts in a book or a journal. Some of you already have well-established habits of prayer, paying attention to God in your lives. I would really long for us to be able to learn from each other in these ways. And so I have an invitation for you. I want us to be able to share with each other. So here's my invitation for you. I want to ask the question, what works well for you when it comes to habits of prayer, habits of being attentive to God? If there's one particular resource, one particular habit, one particular idea that you have that's worked well for you, I want to invite you to share that with us. You can share that with each other, obviously, in conversation, but also you could send it to me by email. And I would like to be able to collect some of these ideas from us as a group so that together we are seeking to learn what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus, seeking to learn to put these habits into our lives. So you can email me at icbishkek@gmail.com, or you can contact me through the website, which is icbishkek.com. All right? We want to learn together. And it's my prayer that as we go through these studies, that God will draw us into His presence, that we will have a sense of hearing Him, knowing Him, loving Him, responding to Him. It's my prayer. We have the privilege this morning to reflect on that historical event that is at the center of our faith, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want us to stand and to sing a song that helps us to bring everything to God in prayer. It's an old song, and perhaps you know it, perhaps you don't, but it's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Jesus said amazing things to us, but one of the things He said, no longer do I call you servants, Now I call you friends. So the invitation is an invitation to come to be a friend of Jesus. Let's sing this song together.